Here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler today, but I'm here. My name is AJ Hoffman, and Mike Liebeschock, who is a former Rock the Mic champion of the whole wide world. Year was that, Mike?
2012. This August will be 5 years.
Really?
Yeah, it's been a long
time. How many times did you fail before you were the champion?
Twice.
Man. And how close did you get in those two times?
First time I got eliminated the round of 12 because my boss would let me out of work to come to it. And the second year I got to the Final Four.
Mm.
That was the infamous push-up contest.
Oh, yeah. I felt bad for you that day.
You didn't feel that bad.
I didn't like that. I didn't like that it came down to that.
It is what it is. It worked out.
Who won that year?
Pisano.
It didn't work out.
It worked out for me.
It worked out. Yeah, I guess eventually it
worked
out.
If you think about it, I mean, the way the opportunity shook down with Houston game day and Wessling moving over at that point, it worked out perfect.
Yeah, it did.
Nothing like walking around for a year, though, pissed off about it, which sucks, but is what it is.
You're over it now.
Yeah. It's been 5 years, like I said.
That's true. That's true.
In fact, Laminack lords that over me all the time, the fact that he was kind of on his first try. So well, he owns that.
He's so brilliant.
He's so brilliant. Yeah. I know. I'm so good. I'm so
he's
blessed.
So brilliant. I would tell you, like, when every time Laminack tries to be cutesy, I always hit him with a fat joke, but you can't really do that.
It happens.
Okay.
Not too much, but you know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Between the three of us with Tyler as well, it's three dudes who should be jumping rope in the attic or something.
Yeah.
It's better.
But you've been walking like you're exercising.
I heard you mention that the other day. Yeah.
You just walk laps, huh? What are you doing with like a Fitbit?
I do. I actually got it 2 years ago, and Raheel was telling me he lives and dies with his, so I wear it every day, and when you work in sales or any job that you work where you're in a cubicle and you're sitting down, I mean, just to clear your head and get a little sanity, it helps to get up and take 10, 15 minutes and just stretch. I don't smoke.
That's good.
I don't carouse in the coffee room. I just get up. And I got a lunch hour today. I went to the Galleria, walked around, 2 mile walk around the Galleria. Got her done in about 35 minutes.
Around the whole mall?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It was pretty good, man.
Not too shabby,
it's
my
like
friend.
It's like the castle of skinny jeans over there. I really can't stand going over there, but.
And you just walk in your sales wear.
I did, and I'm wearing a pair of Spectator Doc Martens that I got for Christmas. My daughter asked me to wear them to work, and I have a feeling I have a nasty blister on at least one of my feet from that. But
I'm sure.
It's worth her love. So.
You don't have like some sneakers that you can change into?
I don't do that, man. And I see people over there walking across Westheimer in their dress clothes and wearing some Asics or something. I would rather walk in dress shoes.
Really?
I can't do that.
You're that proud, huh?
I just think it looks silly.
It does, but I mean,
it's like when you're watching SportsCenter and you see one of these old coaches who's wearing shirt and tie, and they're wearing some Nikes.
But you don't do it. I mean, obviously, you don't do it every day, but you sometimes put on different attire for exercise that you would wear at no other time. I mean,
if you're going to the gym, yeah. I mean, when I get home, I usually walk 3 or 4 miles at night. I'll change then.
So how many miles are you going a day with your Fitbit?
My goal is 10 grand in steps a day. I usually end up around 13 or 14, somewhere around 6 miles.
That's pretty good.
Over the course of a day.
That's pretty good. You only walk? You're not running?
Not yet, no. I'm punching my weight properly. I would have done that 2 years ago. I would have just gone out. The dude in that commercial goes out jogging like 3 houses down. He's got to stop and catch his breath. I've kind of been there before.
You have a goal weight?
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to share it?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think 205 would be a cool weight.
205?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
John, what's your goal weight?
I'm kind of in the opposite. I want to eventually
gain some weight. About 180?
Yeah, I signed up for one of those warrior runs in Austin. I think it's a Spartan one.
And, when are you doing that?
I want to say like April or May.
Really? Are you going to try? Like, are you training for it?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you do in those runs? I hear about that all the time.
There's a lot of, I've done one before. There's a lot of lifting yourself up There's a lot of running. There's running through or crawling through ice water.
Oh, no, under, I don't want to do that.
And then there was one.
What's that supposed to do?
I don't know.
It's just like show how manly you are?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of obstacle courses and running at the same time.
And you have to like, go through the mud and stuff like that?
Yeah,
I don't like.
I got an uncle out in San Antonio who does those mud runs. I don't know how he does it.
No, I don't like that.
I think you'd get stuck. I mean, maybe straight quicksand.
No, it was okay.
If you were 4 feet of mud, Jong, I think you'd be doomed. It's a very sufficient amount.
Dude, my buddy who lives in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Which Albuquerque's at elevation anyway. It's a
I didn't know that.
It's like a mile high. Yeah, it's up there.
Who knew?
So he runs these. I don't know what they're called exactly, but it's like a super marathon where he'll do like 50 or 100 mile runs, and they're through terrain. So it's not like on a road. It's like in the mountains, in the hills, or through a forest.
It's like the X Games version of an Ironman.
Kind of. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen, but he can do it.
I've seen those stickers, too. Well, it was a 26.6 for a marathon. There's some out there that have a 50-something or 60-something floating on.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah, this dude, he came 2 years ago. He came to – they have one in Huntsville every year, and I think it's like this next weekend because he was going to come this year, but he couldn't. And they have a 50-mile and 100-mile run at the state park.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a couple years ago – I think 3 or 4 years ago he did the 50-miler, and then a couple years ago he did the 100-miler. But he does that sometimes in Albuquerque, like where you could barely breathe.
Mm.
I mean, it's crazy. Man.
Imagine
some of these dudes are hardcore.
If you have allergies or something like that. I just see these people running marathons. I'm thinking that's 4 or 5 hours of my life just spent running.
No, I don't need to do that.
I'm good.
I don't need to do that. I'm not interested in running that far. I ran all the time when I was in the Army. I'm over it now. I don't need to do that. All right. Well, you eating right? Are you?
Yeah. In fact, man, I think I've forgotten to eat today. Yeah, I mean, I've between walking of knocking out some appointments today and some calls. Yeah, I just forgot. So, which happens. So the key to this now is when I got here at 7 to not get home at 7:30, 7:45 and cut loose. I think I'd be better off not eating the rest of the day. Frankly, just pound about a gallon of water or something.
Why don't you get a salad or something?
If I have something at home, I try not to eat roughage or fruit after like 4 or 5 though, because it's tough to. It'll hurt your weight loss overnight, believe it or not.
But yeah, but you're like, I mean, you're talking about for the long term, though.
I'm just talking about today.
So you're like one of these, you can check the scale every morning and...
Yeah, you know what? I never used to do that. And then a friend of mine who dropped like 7 or 80 pounds, she says, it's a lot easier to deal with that if you wake every day and you lost maybe a third or a quarter than to do it once a week and put yourself through whatever you got to put yourself through and then you lose 0.8. It's a lot easier to wake up every day and lose 0.2, next day 0.2, maybe the next day even, next day 0.3, than to lose 0.8 the end of the week. And it just kills you because, you know what I mean?
Like I do that when I'm in a fight camp, I check the scale
I'm sure.
multiple times a day because I have like a certain number I've got to hit by a certain time.
Right.
But like in your regular life, it seems like it'd be overwhelming. I mean, you're talking about you can't eat a salad after 5 o'clock.
I could. I just wouldn't.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I try and eat as early as possible. Man, but again, when you got kids, man, you're likely to have dinner at 7:30 sometimes, so that's where it gets screwed up. But
yeah.
It's all good, man. In terms of – I never make resolutions because I always blow them, but if I can do like 5 pounds a month, I'll be thrilled.
That's pretty good.
I think it is. I don't know. I mean, it's compared to what you do when you're trying to cut weight. I mean, what's the most you've dropped in a day?
Oh, well, I mean, well –
I've seen how miserable that
on
you are.
Like on actual weigh-in day, morning of weigh-ins, I've lost 8 pounds.
But you have something to look forward to. You know, you're looking forward to that weigh-in, you know,
right?
Rather than looking forward to the rest of
but
your
I'm,
life.
Like those 8 pounds are also, I mean, it's the most temporary weight loss imaginable because it literally, as soon as I get off the scale, I'm drinking Pedialyte and coconut water, and I usually gain 20 to 22 pounds between weigh-in and the fight night.
Here's what I should do. If they have a golden Legends era of newcomers to MMA.
I don't think you should do that.
Oh, you never know.
I don't think you're cut out for that.
Oh, really?
No.
Why not? As little as you know me, why would you think that?
I don't know. I think like you're a pretty nice guy. Like I don't know that like punching people is for you.
Oh, it might be.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's probably why I have a heart attack when I'm 50 because I just hold all that crap
you, in. You hold rage?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you do something like that? Why don't you go like get a kickboxing class or something?
Yeah, Raheel's been pushing me to do that, so maybe I will.
That's what you should do.
And maybe that's what I'll do.
That's what I always tell people. Like, you know, if you can do a martial art or something, you get some exercise and you actually like carry some knowledge away with you.
It's that sounds awesome, actually. Yeah.
It's way better than just jogging around in a circle and then the next day.
Or walking the parking lot.
The next day, I mean, I guess you're better for it because you did some exercise. But imagine if, like, you could develop a skill while you were exercising.
Work out some issues.
Yeah.
Mad Llama says Albuquerque's 5,300 feet above. So I had no idea.
Dude.
I know there's plateaus and stuff out in the desert and all, but...
Dude, my last fight camp, I went up to Albuquerque and I trained there at Jackson's gym there. During a fight camp, I'll go, you know, sometimes 8-9 minute rounds just to kind of get your body adjusted to what's going to happen in a fight. Of course, my fight lasted like a minute and a half. But up there, maybe 2 or 3 minutes into each round... I thought I was dying. It felt like someone was standing on my chest. It is a mother to adjust to that altitude change. That is no joke up there.
Barry was telling us a story one morning about how, I guess he was in Junior Olympics as a runner.
Special?
That's what I thought originally. He did mean junior. And they were running it in Utah. And it was at an altitude that he'd never been. And he couldn't figure out why he was getting destroyed. He felt his chest was about to explode. And his dad's yelling at him because he's crying and stuff. And... he never ran again. So sorry, B, for stealing your story. But
and that's why he's fat now.
It was appropriate.
He quit running.
And he's on a program too, man. My boy's slimmed down a little bit.
I don't like all you guys trying to get skinny.
Sorry.
Especially Barry. Like,
I think he's funnier.
Comedians
at a heavier
are supposed
weight.
To be fat.
Yeah,
I told him that a long time ago, but he's just not buying into it.
I'm just a salesman.
Yeah, well, salesmen are supposed to be kind of fat too.
Have a congestive heart problems and high blood
pressure.
Yeah,
that's what you should be doing.
It's the nature of chasing quota.
I always notice that sales dudes usually pretty fat, out of shape,
on coke, one or the other.
Sales,
it's like restaurant
chicks,
managers. Yeah,
you got to be pretty hot to make it as a sales chick. I mean, it's a tough road if you're not.
And they eat next to nothing. I've seen these girls around here. They're picky about everything.
Yeah. All right. Well, we won't talk about diet all day.
No.
There's Barry's fat ass in there. He's smirking like he's mad about something. All right, we'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
We are back on The Blitz.
Hell yeah.
And, so today, Joe Thomas. What was Joe Thomas on? Dan Patrick Show?
As in the Cleveland Browns, Joe Thomas?
Yeah. Does that come on 1560 or what?
It does.
Okay.
An hour of it, but it might not have been his segment. So it's hard. It's tough to tell.
I don't like that. I mean.
Well, as far as us doing 1 hour of the Dan Patrick Show?
Yeah.
No, Dan Patrick runs 3 hours.
Are you sure? Maybe it's on the local, on the 1560. There's 1 hour of him, 1 hour of Eisen.
Dan Patrick, 8 to 10. So 2 hours of Dan Patrick, and Eisen goes from 11 to 1.
Maybe when the Saban thing went down, that flip-flopped. I think that's what it was. Anyway.
Well, Joe Thomas, either way, went on the Dan Patrick Show, and they asked him about the first pick in the draft. And obviously the Browns are a total bleep show. And Joe Thomas said, I would say you want to go defense. I think you need to get a pass rusher. You got to be careful reaching for a quarterback at number one because if they fail, they don't help your team at all. Whereas if you pick a defensive lineman and maybe they don't live up to the hype, you can still find a place to get them on the field and have an impact. We're a team that needs guys that can come in and start and that can contribute. I think that's the risk of taking a quarterback. I found that interesting because It's kind of the same way I feel about the Browns. The Browns are such a mess. And for maybe it's because I don't like the quarterbacks in this class. Really none of them. At least none that I would take anywhere near the number one overall pick. I can't even imagine it.
Agreed.
But when I think the best player in the draft is Jonathan Allen from Alabama. And whether he's a DN or a D-tackle or whatever, I think he's the best player. That's who I would take. But apparently the Browns are really into Myles Garrett, which I also don't think that's a bad pick. But the Browns are so bad that if they got a Trubisky or a Kaiser or some guy like that, there's almost zero chance he's going to succeed because the team around him is so poor. I mean, you're just giving the guy almost no chance at long-term success, at least while he's in Cleveland.
It sounds weird comparing the starting quarterback of pardon me, an NFL team to a closer, but it's the same thing as being the worst baseball team in Major League Baseball and getting a closer. What he said is right. And Jackson's, what, 10-time Pro Bowler. He says you got a guy that needs to come in and help this team immediately. There's no quarterback you're going to bring in that can contribute and be successful in that scheme. And I guarantee you Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun Kaiser should be sending that guy baskets of fruit or a new car or something to thank them, to thank him for deterring maybe Cleveland from taking any of those three.
Well, one of them's going to end up in San Francisco, so it's, I mean, it's
well, we don't
not
even,
much better.
We don't know who the GM is yet out there. I mean, do we know anything about that regime yet?
No.
So it could be all right. Mm. They could get maybe a Lewis Riddick or someone in there who might know what they're doing.
Well, again, I mean, that's another place where the talent is just so poor now.
They shouldn't take quarterback either.
No. But I'm pretty sure one of those two teams is going to take a quarterback. And if not them, it might be the Bears take a quarterback. Although I think the Bears should do the same thing and look at either defense or an offensive lineman. But these teams that are at the top of the draft, and a lot of them need quarterbacks. But just me as a guy who doesn't believe that there's a franchise quarterback in this draft, I'd let somebody else pull the trigger on that. And if there's a guy in the second round or the third round you like and he happens to fall, maybe go for it then. But the first round, it's got to be a guarantee that that guy's a player. And I don't think any of these quarterbacks I would guarantee are going to be players in the NFL. I can't – not one of them.
No, those dudes love Trubisky, the people that are supposed to know better. Watson had a tremendous platform to succeed on against Bama. Kaiser is leaving, I'm sure, because he can't stand Brian Kelly anymore, and he doesn't want to transfer and sit out a year, so might as well go now.
Yeah.
And the fact that you just said the class is so poor, Kaiser's going to get paid by somebody.
All three of those guys are going to
get paid.
First-round picks.
But why wait?
I think all three of those guys are first-round picks just because they are the best of the bunch. Mm. But that doesn't mean that the teams should look at them and say, well, this is the best of the bunch. He's got to be the guy. Because this is a year where best of the bunch, it means that you're probably forcing a backup you're trying to force him into a franchise player role. And if you take a quarterback in the first round, that's what you're drafting, is a franchise quarterback. I think it's a poor choice, especially for these bad teams. You know, if for whatever reason San Diego moves on from Phillip Rivers and they want to draft a quarterback, okay.
You got pieces around you.
You got a decent squad there in place. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. If who's another team that might need one? Hell, the Texans. If the Texans around 25 decide, well, this is the guy. We really think this guy can play for us, and everybody else has passed on him, okay, take a quarterback. I don't think that's the worst thing. But just take – because you need a quarterback, so you have to take one in the first round. I don't think that's wise.
It's silly. And we were – Stace and I were living in Lexington, Kentucky the year Tim Couch got drafted number one by God out of UK by Cleveland. And that's a city that's a Bengals town because it's only an hour and a half south. It became a Browns town all of a sudden. This is right after the Howell Mummy garbage went on. And you would have thought he was going to be the MVP, rookie of the year, win multiple Super Bowls for the Browns. And it's hilarious to look back now, 17, 18 years later, probably. People don't even remember that. If you asked 95% of the people in the city who Tim Couch was, I couldn't tell you. And he was a damn number one pick.
Number one pick in the draft. He happened to be the number one pick in the draft in a year where there were several very, very, very
much better
good players that could have been franchise-changing players, including the guy that went number two, Donovan McNabb. And, you know, who knows if Donovan McNabb, if Tim Couch and Donovan McNabb trade places and one goes to Cleveland, one goes to Philly, how their careers work out. You know, it's easy to say that, well, McNabb would have been better, but you don't know. You don't know when what a coaching staff will do with a guy. But that's the year that Champ Bailey was in that draft. Ricky yes. Williams was in that draft.
He's 39 years old doing God knows what. He lives back in Kentucky, and he's been out of the league 10 years, and Brady is still
that's
doing
crazy.
His thing, man. It's ridiculous.
I mean, that's pretty wild. So, although that was a year where, I believe that's the same year. Let me pull it up. But that's the same year.
He went one. McNabb
went
two. Achilles Smith went three.
See, so, I mean, it was, hell, that's a.
Caden McNown, for love of God, went in that one. And I'm just flying down there. I don't remember.
And Caden McNown went in the first round, right? Like that.
Caden McNown went number 12 to Chicago, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's a.
And then there weren't many quarterbacks to.
That's a good,
after
I mean,
that.
That's a good example of a year when guys felt like, well, we got to take a quarterback. And all right. I mean, Cade McNown. He's,
yeah. Joe Germain. There's just names that have faded off into the ethers that no one ever thought about.
Volpe
Aaron Brooks
in that draft, right?
Aaron Brooks, fourth round. Entirely possible.
Aaron Brooks had a respectable career, though.
Yeah, it was New Orleans. Did some nice things out there.
Yeah.
That was not a memorable draft. Donald Driver, seventh round. He had a decent career from Alcorn.
But there were a lot of guys they could have taken instead of Tim Couch, but they felt like they needed to take a quarterback and help. The first three teams took quarterbacks. And had they taken McNabb, maybe we're having a different conversation. But
no.
Had they taken Javon Kearse with the first pick that year?
Yeah. Joey Porter went in the third round. He had a hell of a career in Pittsburgh. I've been laughing all week at this stuff about what the Pats have done, what Belichick has done since he got run out of Cleveland after his 4 years. And I keep thinking it's not like he was going to have anything near that success in Cleveland. It just was not going to happen.
Right.
With ownership being what it's been all these years, it was only going to happen where he is.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take another break. You need to do that thing?
Yeah, let's do a giveaway. It's Bedrock City Day. Pick a superhero or supervillain athlete from this weekend's games. Probably going to be an NBA guy at this point because we had a weekend off. Tweet them and the reason for the superpower that you made them your superhero, your supervillain. At the end of the show, John will pick a winner from all the entries and all those posts. And we're going to be talking about this the whole show. Just to remind you, Bedrock City Comics, gift cards and t-shirts can be picked up the next day so you can get your prize tomorrow if you're the guy that wins.
And you can tag Bedrock City Comics and tweet it to us at Degenerates975.
There you go.
All right. Got to tell you guys about Allied Outdoor Solutions. Listen, it's getting to be that time of year where you want to spend more time in the backyard. You want to spend more time out by the pool. We're getting to that, and you want it to be ready. You want your outdoor area to be ready for that time. Call Allied Outdoor Solutions to get you ready. 713-465-0400. They can renovate your fading pool deck, your grayed-out patio, or your outdated driveway with a carved stone overlay. What it does is it gives you the look of real stone on your existing surface for way less money than it would cost to put real stone in. This is trialed, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home, so it looks great. And it's twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind it with a 7-year warranty. If your backyard's currently a blank slate, no problem. They can build it from the ground up, from a functional concrete patio to the outdoor kitchen and patio car you've been dreaming of, and they'll help you on residential and commercial projects. They can help you save some money as well. Several monthly payment options, including 0% financing for up to 18 months. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Go with a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, check out what they can do for you, or go to the Carved Stone Projects photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for that risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
All right, we are back on the Blitz. And apparently now there is some tension in New York City.
Get out of here.
With Carmelo Anthony and Phil Jackson, who we talked about this a little bit yesterday. The Knicks contacted the Cleveland Cavaliers about a trade of Carmelo Anthony for Kevin Love. And wisely, the Cavaliers scoffed at said offer.
I scoffed at that offer. Crazy. I
mean, Kevin Love is 4 years younger than Carmelo. There's just no sense to doing something like that. It wouldn't be a good fit. They're in good shape as it is. You know, he's having a great season. The Cavs are having a great season. Doing something like that at this time would not make sense for them to stay cohesive. And LeBron's asked for additions to the roster, but he's not looking to blow it up. He wants a backup point guard and another big man. Like he just doesn't want to have to spend every minute on the court, which is what he basically does these days. And that's not what he meant when he was saying that he wanted to add some bodies. But the bigger news is now in New York, where Carmelo had said before he's got no interest in waiving his no trade clause. He likes to be there in New York.
Right.
But New York also says, well, we may blow it up altogether and start from scratch. And if that were to happen, Carmelo is like, well, it's not. Maybe I'll waive that no trade clause if you guys are going to, you know, if you guys are going to blow this thing up.
I liked his phrasing. Until the GM comes to me with something, there's nothing for me really to look forward to yet. I thought that was interesting the way that he phrased that, you know, as if he was, you know, hoping that they would pull something off. I mean, the whole thing with his wife, who's a quote unquote actress, I don't know what Lala Anthony does. Apparently she's an actress of some sort. Frank Isola, the New York Daily News, says they're talking to Boston. They're talking to the Clippers. They're talking to anyone that he might agree to go to. And I don't know why you'd do that. If you're those guys.
If you're one of those teams?
Yeah, I don't see the value in it. What you just said, I mean, Love being 4 years younger, he also will put the effort in on defense. He's a hell of a rebounder when he's allowed to be a rebounder and not standing out behind the arc the whole game. Cleveland's missing J.R. Smith, and they never really replaced him. They don't have that other gun to come in and take a little pressure off.
Well, so. I think the big – well, they got Korver, who I think they like to use as their replacement. But the Carmelo thing, the difference between Carmelo and Kevin Love is Kevin Love has accepted that he's the third best guy on that team. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I can't picture a scenario where Carmelo says, okay, I'll play third fiddle in this band – because he's never been asked to do that. He's never been second fiddle. You know, there's no way he's going to suddenly be okay being the third fiddle. And we compared that to Kevin Love, who had done the same thing, had always been the man in Minnesota on sorry-ass teams, mind you. But he had to adjust to that role. Chris Bosh, when he left Toronto for Miami, had to adjust to that role. But those guys did it.
They did it, and they won.
I don't think Carmelo can do that.
He doesn't seem like that dude. And
Carmelo's not a guy that – Carmelo is not a player, and I say the same thing about Harden. People don't watch those guys play and say, you know what? That's the kind of guy I would really love to play with. They're just not. You know, and it's not that the style isn't effective. It's – you know, Carmelo is – he's going to, by the time he's said and done, is going to end up pretty high on the all-time scoring list. I mean, he's a fantastic scorer. Harden might be the MVP this year. But when guys look at that,
they say that's not, those aren't the kind of players that people are wanting to line up and take less money to play with. You know, that's just not them. They see guys like LeBron James. People will pay. Well, people will take a discount on their contract to play with a guy like LeBron James that they know is going to make everybody on the floor better. That's just not Carmelo. And I don't know. I think there are some places where I could see Carmelo fitting, but the problem is that horrific contract where they've got a no-trade clause and he just has they're powerless.
Yeah,
I mean, I could see sending Carmelo to Sacramento for DeMarcus Cousins, and then you've solved two problems at once. Sacramento's got a problem with him. You know, maybe that works out. I don't know. It's just a fresh start for both guys. Maybe something works out, but Carmelo's not taking a trade to Sacramento.
I don't know the Boogie would I don't know if he would do well in anywhere where they're about to build, you know, blow it up. Maybe they flip him somewhere else. I don't know.
Maybe.
Because that would be
but
unbearable.
As long as you get rid of the guy that's got a no-trade contract, no trade clause.
I'm just trying to imagine Cousins with everything he's going through in a soft-ass Sacramento market. All of a sudden, you're going to put him in front of the most rabid bunch of scribes in sports. That wouldn't play out well. They would definitely have to flip him at some point. But, yeah, you're right. It is, you know, what Bosch and Love did, though, was they were going to a team where the best player in the NBA was. And whether Carmelo would do the same thing because it's LeBron, there might be not another player that he would acquiesce to. Maybe LeBron is that one guy. Maybe it would work. But how he doesn't have to function without the ball in his hand. That's the problem.
Right. Well, and I think the biggest issue in this is not – Carmelo's not the main problem in New York. I mean, Carmelo is what he's always been. What's happening here is – Phil Jackson made some knucklehead moves in the offseason that didn't work out. I mean, Derrick Rose has been okay, but his deal ends this summer. I mean, they could trade him before the deadline. That's a possibility. Joakim Noah, who got basically Brock Osweiler money, he's basically Brock Osweiler. He is a total disaster in New York. He's not good. And rather than shine the light on the bonehead moves that Phil Jackson made, he's like, well, this is all Carmelo's fault. Get this guy out of here. So,
and maybe the guy with the most untapped potential in Porzingis, they're rubbing him in the ground. He's playing every night.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got a bum leg and Achilles that he's dealing with as well. So they're not taking care of the one guy they could probably develop. They can't play defense within the worst five or six teams in the NBA. And you're right, Noah.
So. And now you're at a point where let's say you don't trade Carmelo now, you get past the trade deadline, you go into the offseason with your biggest star and your GM pissed off at each other because, you know, Phil's basically thrown Carmelo under the bus here.
Yep.
And you're in an awkward situation of do you continue to build around Carmelo? Are free agents going to want to come play there? Like when they talk to Carmelo and say, "Hey, what, you know, is this the right spot?" And Carmelo's going to be like, "No, bro, I'm not going to be here much longer."
The other thing that sucks is that if you're a Knicks fan and you're praying for the day that you hear the announcement that Phil is stepping away, he's not with Jeannie Buss anymore. There's absolutely nothing other than California pulling him back to California. He doesn't have her to run back to, so he's got nothing else to do. He's just sitting around.
Well, they could fire his ass. I don't know.
That's a lot of money. Not that they don't regularly eat bad money on a regular basis.
Yeah.
It's always been that. Didn't Isaiah Thomas have like six point guards on the team at one time? I mean, there's always been a problem with whoever's been running personnel on that squad.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess it boils down to at some point – you know, James Dolan is gonna pick his favorite, and
it'll be Melo.
I think it would be Carmelo.
I think it would be Carmelo. You want to take a call?
Yeah, we'll take a call.
Scott, welcome to the Blitz. What's up?
Hey, man, how you doing, guys?
Sports.
Hey, you guys. If, let's say Carmelo does happen to make it over to the Cavs, couldn't the coach put together, you know, a Team USA kind of sort of game plan together? You know, where you have five all-stars in there and, you know, you have to divvy up the points. I'll hang up and listen.
The problem is this isn't international basketball, and everybody says that. Carmelo
played well with LeBron and outplayed LeBron in the international. That's a different kind of basketball. I mean,
to me, Tyronn Lue seems like a really nice dude. I'm not giving him credit yet for being that kind of schemer who could put together something like that. I don't know that he's the leader of men yet that you would need to pull that off. I think last year, I think you could have coached the Cavaliers team and they might have still won game seven. I might have had game
That's
five.
The thing. The Cavs, of all teams, they've got no reason to mess with their chemistry. They're the ones who are defending a title. You saw the Warriors in the offseason coming off the best regular season of all time. I'd argue one of the best teams ever. And they go out and make a huge splash deal. And it looks like it's going to work out. Don't get me wrong. But Kevin Durant is also a much better overall player than Carmelo Anthony is.
Isn't this the time of year, though, last year where things were falling apart in Cleveland and everyone thought everything was going to be garbage?
I just don't understand why. Like,
they'll be fine.
Cleveland's got no reason to panic.
Zero.
They need to do what LeBron is. And I hate to act like LeBron is the coach and GM, but he probably should be.
Yeah.
But LeBron says, hey, get us a backup point guard and another big. Go do that. Don't worry about making a big splash. Don't worry. I mean, you've got the biggest splash in basketball. You've got the best player in the whole wide world on your team. You don't need another superstar. Just build around them. Do the smart thing. And I'm glad they said no to this trade, but it's a whole different topic that they need to be working on something too, because LeBron's doing that thing where he's talking about, I'm getting tired, bro.
He's getting himself amped up.
Yeah. He's like, you know, there's a lot of weight on me and Kyrie and Kevin. We're the only ones out here playing minutes.
We're top heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the three of us.
So he's right, though.
Real quick, 281, apparently a disappointed customer, wants to know where Fred is. He's moving today. He closed on the house Tuesday. He's moving. He'll be back tomorrow. Don't worry. You only have me for a couple hours.
There you go. All right, we'll be back at Splits on ESPN 97.5. Watch it.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
A little bit of an update on the Carmelo Anthony situation. If they do trade Carmelo, whoever team trades back would have to trade about $27 million in salary to make it work. And apparently the Clippers, where Carmelo has said that that's a team that he would waive his clause for.
Makes sense. L.A.
But the Clippers have three big stars on their team. They've got Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan. But the Clippers also know where the Knicks are at right now. So the Clippers said, we'll make a deal with you, but we're not going to give up any of those three guys.
Here's who we'll give you.
So basically, you're looking at someone from a group of players like Jamal Crawford, J.J. Redick, or Austin Rivers, who is son of the coach.
Yeah.
But that might be what you get back for Carmelo Anthony.
Mm.
L-O-L.
Yeah. But you're out from underneath that. I mean, I don't know that you can expect to have the best of both worlds on that. You have an albatross of a deal you're trying to shake. I don't know that you can necessarily expect to get anything close to what you want back. I mean, you have to take one for the city there.
But, I mean, at that point, is it even worth moving him on? Is your team going to be better with Austin Rivers and Jamal Crawford? I mean,
is that one of those deals where you get nine guys and you waive eight of them?
I mean, that's an hour after the deal.
Yeah.
So does that make your team better is the question.
L.A. makes sense. I mean, again, if his wife is the aspiring – and I'm looking at her IMDb. I've never seen one thing she's been in. including the new edition story that everyone's going nuts over. I guess started the other night. I don't. And I'm also old, so
I don't care about new edition.
No, but I'm just saying.
Do you care about that, John?
I have no idea what that is.
You don't know what new edition is?
No.
The original
Bobby Brown's band.
Oh, I've heard of it, but no.
Yeah, they made some made for TV series where she is someone's mom, I guess. DeVoe's
mom. She's playing
mom.
A mom?
I guess she's or a girlfriend, Flo DeVoe. I don't know if that's DeVoe's mom or his girlfriend. I don't know. Or wife. Mm. But again, apparently she's not getting the choice parts in New York because again, I've never seen her in one thing. So maybe LA would be a good place.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, Flo DeVoe is that's Ronnie DeVoe's mom.
Maybe she was young when, maybe a very young DeVoe, maybe as a baby. Maybe yeah. They went all the way back to the birth of all five of them.
Maybe so.
6-part series.
Well, all right.
I'm good.
Speaking of guys who, albatross contracts, Jason Pierre-Paul wants one. He will become an unrestricted free agent in March. And like every good negotiator, he's started his negotiation on Twitter. That's where it should all be done. That's the way business works these days.
Mm.
But then he got upset when he got some negative feedback. Pierre-Paul's looking for a deal similar to Olivier Vernon's deal, which was 5 years, $85 million.
It's too damn hot.
That deal's going to screw over so many teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
So many teams.
Yeah, I mean, can Jason Pierre-Paul count to 8 on his fingers? Is that how high does he get before we should say we'll give you
$10 million
for every full finger you can show us? I think he'd get about 6.5. I think out of that,
he wants 5 years, $85 million, 52.5 guaranteed or similar. I mean, that's what Olivia got. I could see where he would ask for more than that.
But he was doing pretty well. Before he had surgery, played 12 games, had 7 sacks, 53 tackles, which is good, not amazing. He missed half of 2015 and didn't play great in the second half of 2015 after he blew his hand off. But he tweeted out, "I am Jason Pierre-Paul and I will hunt your quarterback down. I'll do whatever it takes, just know that."
Mm.
2017 season is going to be all me. And then he said, "To all the fans that follow me and talking BS, I really don't care because guess what? You follow me." I never get that. Like the whole, like,
he's a heel. I love it. One and a half-handed heel. Spot Rack is saying, which is a great site if you're into salary cap garbage. They're saying the Giants will have about $32 million. Over the cap is saying 23. I guess they haven't officially determined where the salary cap will be. It sounds like they might have the room, but I don't know. If you're already giving Vernon that money, I don't think you can give that to another dude. JPP's nice and all. But is he going to make that team measurably better? They spent a lot of money on that defense this past year and got almost nothing back other than beating Dallas twice.
My guess is they gave Olivier Vernon that money knowing that they weren't going to give that to Jason Pierre-Paul. So they were like, well, he's going to come off the books, so this way we've got a pass rusher that we're going to have locked in. And I think after something like what JPP went through,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to be the guy who signs him to that next contract, and then because if he sucks, then you blew it.
He'll be 29 this year. Those tires have been run down a little bit. He hasn't played 70 games yet. Of the 95 regular season games, yeah, there's no way. Someone out there will give it to them. Let that be their problem.
Absolutely, but don't let it be you, team that's already given him a bunch of money and has already invested a bunch of money at that same position.
Hankins, Harrison, Pugh, Vernon, there's a lot of money on that defense. And
but that's
Eli needs help.
That's always been the case. That's always been the way the Giants have been built. They pay, particularly their defensive linemen. They've always paid a lot of money for those front 7 guys back to when it was Kiwanuka. Who's the other guy that was there for the long
Strahan.
But the the guy that just had his number retired there, Justin Tuck. Yeah. I mean, they've always put money into those spots, but I think this is the wrong guy.
Maybe the pressure of having to keep up with Dallas, a hopefully improving Eagles team, Washington. You don't know what they'll look like if Cousins is gone. Maybe they'll feel that pressure and they'll give him that money. That, again, a second franchise, a third franchise in New York that does not manage money.
No.
Right there with the Mets.
You know who I could see giving that money, who needs a pass rusher, is Dallas.
Is Dallas.
So if that were to happen, I mean, then he's got a direct chance to make the Giants regret it. But that's also, like I said, if it doesn't work out, that's a double win for the Giants. We got rid of this dude's money.
Why don't you go ahead and
the Cowboys took him.
Why don't you go ahead and start that rumor so we don't have to talk about Watt to Dallas anymore?
Okay, that works. Man, I got to tell you guys, I forgot to talk yesterday about this, Jong. Raising Cane's came by and brought us that grub yesterday. Did you get some of that?
I did.
Yeah, that place is awesome. And I'm not doing like a real live read for them right now or anything, but they did bring us food yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to talk about it too much, but fantastic chicken fingers. And if you've got a tailgate or if you've got like a watch party or whatever for the game, the big game, as we call it.
The big game.
You just go in. They'll do 25, 50, 75, 100. They can do more. And you don't need a lot of time. Like, you don't have to like call 2 days in advance and say, hey, I'm going to need 100 chicken fingers for my party. Just go in, order. They'll be ready in 10 minutes. I mean, it's the grub is amazing, guys. It's all that fresh, never frozen chicken. So Raising Cane's, they've got 24 Cane's in the Houston metro area now. RaisingCane's.com to find the nearest one. All right. I'm going to tell you about SlashMyPayments.com. If you have a car, you probably got a car note. And if you've got a car note, chances are good you're paying more on that car note than you should be. And when you go into the dealer and they say, okay, what do you want your payment to be? And you tell them, I'd like my payment to be around $500. Well, it's not like they're going to change the price of the car that much. They're gonna change the rate. And it's funny how when you do that, they always come back, hey, we got you right at 504. And you're like, okay, that works. What you don't realize is it could have been like 460, but the dealer is taking a bunch of money from you on your loan, and it's not right. You should get the payment that your credit history has earned you. You should get the rate that your credit history has earned you. That's where Slash My Payments comes in. They've dropped rates over $100 for my listeners. It's so easy to do. Refinance your current auto loan at SlashMyPayments.com. It's free, doesn't cost you a dime. Go to SlashMyPayments.com, enter promo code BLITZ at the top of the application, and you're on your way to saving money. With approved credit, other exclusions and or restrictions may apply. That's SlashMyPayments.com.
These feelings I have for you can go deeper if you can come correct with your game.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.